Isn't he doing a fabulous job? Yeah, let's give him a round of applause. It's good. He's had all sorts of roles today. And even this morning before the service, he was my IT technician, which is one of his probably most common roles, and was printing for me. So that was great. Thank you, Caelan. Now, I bet when you came in this morning, you weren't expecting to be in class, but oh, thank you. Actually, my helpers are already getting onto it. We do have some worksheets today, so if you'd like to take a worksheet and a pen and pass it on. And while I finish setting up, you guys might actually beat me to it. So bear with me while I unpack my little teacher bag. Wasn't sure how this would go, so I just sort of piled everything in. Oh, of course, can't forget my lanyard and my keys. Every teacher has those. Stationery. Everything there. Oh, if we run out of pens, I have some special pens, but I will need them back, so I'll keep my eye on those. And, oh, funnily enough, I actually need that folder there. Could you bring that folder up for me too, please? Thank you. Alrighty. Well, good morning, class. Now that I've got myself organised, the bell's gone and the teacher's running late. How often does that happen? A lot. So today we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit and how he is our teacher. So as I mentioned, there's some worksheets that have been handed out, and thank you very much to my helpers who had just a couple of minutes notice before the service that they were going to help with that. Once you have your worksheet and your pen, if you can please put your name at the top of the page. And don't worry, I won't be collecting these. You won't be marked or graded. So there's some questions for you to answer and fill in. There's some blank lines for your own notes of whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you this morning, as well as a section at the bottom that I'll explain in a little bit. So you can leave that bit blank for now. But before we get into our main topic for today, I wonder if anyone can tell me, and feel free to call out some answers, you don't need to put your hand up, and there's even stickers for those who answer, so, you know, encourage you to take part in that. I might need a helper to help hand those out, but anyway, we'll get to that. So who can tell me what makes a good teacher? Yes, know what they're teaching, know the content. Oh, maybe have some whiteboard markers at work. Know what they're teaching anymore? Sorry? Teaching new kids, yeah, that's great. Any more? Relationships and good communicator. Lovely. Any others? One that doesn't talk too long. Yep. Time management we'll put in there. Yes, don't worry, we'll try and track that one. Was there another one I missed? Presentation. Yep. Excellent. Oh, gee, I've got a few things to live up to here. Okay. Any others?
Patience.
Thank you. And sorry about my writing there. Any more? Sorry. Listening, a good listener. That's great. Yes. Listening. And one more that I had is having a heart for their students, which does come into the relationships there. Oops. What about students? What makes a good student? Yeah, Caitlin? Wearing your uniform, that is good. Thank you. And wearing it correctly too. There's a difference. that's good. Any others for what makes a good student? Obedience, yes. Keep them coming. Willingness to learn. Thank you. That's a great one. Asking good questions. Yes. I'm just going to put cues there. Being respectful. Yes. I know there's a few teachers in the room. I'm sure they could call out a few things, hint, hint, nudge, nudge to any youth and students in the room. A few other things we have might be focused, attentive, and maybe even resourceful. Behave? Well behaved? That's a good one. Yeah. Focused. I can't spell. Yes, thank you. Thanks, Sophia. Alrighty. What about what makes a good lesson? Think about the best lessons you've had. Maybe it's the teacher that makes a good lesson. maths. Do you say maths? I love maths. If I were a teacher, I would teach maths. I'm going to put that top of the list. Good job. Hamish? Sorry? Games. Yeah. So making it engaging and fun, a bit of fun there. Engaging and fun.
Planning,
yes. Was that another one, sorry?
Recess.
Recess, yes. And again, time management, sticking to the time frame. That's always good.
A purpose.
Look, I'm going to put recess. If I put maths, I've got to put recess. So, a purpose. Relevant to the audience. Thank you. Awesome. All right, we might leave it there if you had any more burning questions, and for anyone that answered, please feel free to come up and grab a sticker at some stage, and Sophia, you can grab one of those for helping me. Thank you. yes. Excellent. So there's some great answers there, and we'll come back to those in a moment, and apologies, you may not be able to read my scrawly handwriting, but first I want to share a story with you. So one day there was a teacher, and she taught high school maths. She loved it. It was her passion. She thoroughly planned out her classes for the year. She prepared her lessons, made sure they were in sequence so the students knew what they had to learn, ready for the next lesson, and it all kind of made sense. So the students learnt the equations, the sums, and the processes in the right order, and all that important stuff. Now, one of these carefully planned lessons, aligning with the curriculum, of course, was all around finances. You know, maybe it was taxes, loans, interest, something. Pick one. And, that's what it was. As part of that lesson, she provided all the information. All the information required. She taught. She discussed it with the students. The students engaged. There were conversations. She demonstrated many examples of the sums and the equations that could come about in this situation. She demonstrated how they were calculated, what to consider, the different terminology, etc., etc. To her knowledge, based on the work that was completed, the questions asked, the discussions held, the lesson was fairly successful. Some, as usual, picked it up quite easily. Others took a little bit more time, needed things explained multiple times before it clicked. And for some, maybe it just didn't quite click. And they might need some extra help along the way. But the information had been passed on and the lesson was completed. Now, fast forward 5 or so years down the track. Those students have left school, working in the big wide world, and some of them she still sees from time to time. Some even pop up in her social media feed, you know, because of a friend liked or commented on the post, not because she's friends with them, of course. Anyway, that maths teacher is scrolling through her feed one day, probably around, let's say it's July, August maybe, and comes across the post of a former student that says something along the lines of, tax time again, wish we'd been taught this stuff in school. And she can't believe what she's reading. After all that hard work, after all the questions, the explaining, the teaching, one of the students that she'd taught, and no, they weren't absent that day, she double-checked. One of those students had dared to post that they were never taught about these finances in school. Now, I don't know about you, but I see this from time to time from some former classmates. And I remember thinking, well, I think we actually did get taught this, but maybe you weren't paying attention. But also remember struggling with it. You know, even though I loved maths, when it came to maths, I usually got it straight away, but struggled with understanding the financial stuff. And you know what? I think I've realised what my problem was, and perhaps it was the same for some of my classmates. Maybe it was that I didn't have the context. It wasn't particularly relevant to me at that specific moment, so I couldn't understand how this information was going to help me. So instead of keeping that info handy, I'm sure I kept all the worksheets and books and everything, looking over it from time to time, or, you know, calling up my maths teacher maybe when it came time to do my tax return or applying for a loan. Instead of all that, I had to relearn it, or alternatively, go see an accountant. So the Holy Spirit as a teacher. If it's not already making sense where I'm going with this illustration, hopefully by the end of it, it will. If you have your Bible, let's turn to John 14, 16 to 17. John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." If we jump down to verse 26, "But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He tells them that the Holy Spirit will teach them. He will teach them everything and remind them of everything that he, Jesus, has told them. Also in John 16, Jesus said that it was better for the disciples if he went away, because if he should go away, then the Holy Spirit would be free to come to everybody. Therefore, every one of us is now in a position to have Jesus Christ as our ultimate teacher. You know, this happens through the Spirit coming to dwell in us. Jesus said he was going and the Father was giving them the Spirit, and that the Spirit was going to guide the disciples into all truth. You know, this suggests to us that there are still things in the Word of God that we can discover. This should give us tremendous incentive to study the Bible. As long as we are here, the Spirit will teach us. And Jesus said he will guide us in the sphere of all truth. You know, everything that Jesus has told them, has told his disciples, is here. This message is for us. And as Christians and as believers, the Father has sent us the Holy Spirit to teach us everything and remind us of everything Jesus has spoken. You know, in our classroom called Life, the Bible is the textbook. It's the material in which we need to read and know and learn. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He knows the content better than anyone because he is God, the author. He is our teacher who knows us. He cares for us. He knows what we think and what we feel. He knows where we're going. He knows when we sit and when we stand. He knows how we best learn and how to communicate with us. He is always there, ready to communicate with us, ready to remind us of the Word of God. Pastor Karen Hewitt was here a couple of months ago, and something she said has come to mind a few times since then, which was, when you are in the Word and know the Word, the Holy Spirit can retrieve the Word at any moment you need it in your life. This is what it means in that verse where it's saying, he will teach you everything and remind you of what I have told you. So as long as you've read it, the Holy Spirit can retrieve it. I want us to take some time to get our head around this. You know, we read just before in John 14 that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So imagine you're back in school, right? And sorry for those who've just left, but we're going to go back there. As a student, imagine that you could have a helper, a teacher on hand at any given moment, maybe even in the middle of an exam, to remind you of what you have read and learned. You would want to use that, wouldn't you? If you had access to that teacher at any given moment, you had access to the very thing that you needed to get through that question, that exam, that essay, who wouldn't want that helper, that teacher guiding them through it? You know, so why is it in the classroom of life when we run into problems, things aren't adding up, we can't calculate where things went wrong or where to next? Why aren't we calling on our personal teacher, Mr. Holy Spirit? He's there, he knows, and he has the answer. You know, those times when you read something in the Bible and you're like, yep, that's cool. And then sometime later, you know, you think you've forgotten about it, but sometime later you're going through something, or maybe it's a friend and family member, and that verse comes to mind. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of the word. You know, there's two sides to this. The first being that we can rely on him to remind us. So you know what? The pressure's off. You don't have to go and memorize the whole Bible, although it's definitely good to try to memorize scriptures. But on the other side, in order for the Holy Spirit to remind us, we actually need to read it and spend time in it first. You know, the Holy Spirit can't remind us if we haven't actually learnt it. You know, back to that school analogy, that story, you know, if we've learnt it, it's somewhere there. It's just waiting till it's relevant, till it's needed. And, you know, in our own strength, we actually can't always draw that information out. So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us of the things that we might have forgotten. We're told in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. How can we obey something if we don't first know what it is? How do we know what it is without reading it? And reading it often. And then when we read, we do so with the expectancy of the Holy Spirit to remind us when we need it. You know that we can ask him to do this. You know, as we're reading scriptures, as we're in the Bible, we can be praying and saying, Holy Spirit, remind me of these words today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, whenever. You know, these little reminders. This is where that little section on your worksheets comes in. So in this box, I'd like you to write a verse. Or maybe if a verse doesn't come to you straight away, maybe some words that you know that you've read in the Bible. Might be something that keeps coming up from time to time that's just prompted. Write those words in, and if you need to look up the scripture later, you can add it and fill in more of the verse. But I encourage you to cut this section out and put it somewhere where you'll come across it often. You know, this is just another way that the Holy Spirit can remind you of the Word of God. The next time you see this, you can be encouraged by him. You know, how many times do we, you know, have bookmarks or stickers or little notes from friends or of encouragement? And, you know, they probably get tucked away, you know, or they might slip under a bench or something like that, and we don't see them for a little while, and then next minute we're cleaning up and we're in the middle of our day and life is just busy and rushed. And then we see that little note of encouragement from that friend. We see that bookmark that slipped out of our Bible and it's, you know, maybe tucked in between the couch cushions. And it's that reminder. You know, we need to be in the Bible. We need to be reading it. But the Bible on its own can be confusing and can be taken out of context. So we need the Holy Spirit teacher to reveal the meaning, the purpose behind it, and how it applies to us. You know, just like in what Manoah was sharing from John 6 earlier, you know, Jesus was talking about, you know, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And to people of the world, people of the earth, in the human, we don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. We need to be able to read and know with the Holy Spirit to guide us to understand what it is that this word is all about. Because there are things in there that may not make sense to the world. Because we're not of the world, are we? So we need the Holy Spirit teacher to reveal the meaning and the purpose and how it applies to us and the relevance. This message that God is communicating with us through his word, that's our learning context. We need to be in the word, but that's only part of it. The Holy Spirit communicates directly with us, and we need to position ourselves to encounter and to hear from him. And how do we do this? It's in our prayer and devotional time. You know, I know these are the basics, and for most here, I'm sure that this isn't brand new information. But I wonder if any of us are content with how often we're spending time in the presence of God. Not for any purpose, not to be planning messages or devotions for our classes or, you know, to find a verse to share with someone, but not for any purpose other than just to be with him. Are we content? Not just with how often, but how long? You know, I'm sure we all have days where it just doesn't feel like enough. Can I challenge you this morning, church, that no measure of time may ever feel enough? But what if we made the decision to prioritize just 5 more minutes each day with him? If 5 minutes is all you've been able to do recently, see if you can make it 10. If you can normally spend 15 minutes with him, see if you can make it 20. If 30 minutes is what you aim for, see if you can make it 35. If you're spending 2 hours with God or more, see if you can make it 2 hours and 5 minutes. And gradually build on that as best you can. You'll never regret giving more time to God, more time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to speak to you. There are many ways that the Holy Spirit teaches us. There's some slides with scripture references for each of the points that I'll mention, but we won't go into each one today. But there are many more that you can discover in the Word. And if anything stands out to you, you might like to write it on your worksheet in the notes, along with the scriptures that will be on the screen. So Holy Spirit, the teacher, how and what does he teach us? He reminds us, John 14:26. We did cover this one, so I'll read it again. Or I'll cover it again. He's reminding us of God's word and reminding what God has already done for us. The Holy Spirit, he instructs us. He teaches us what to say if we're facing persecution or being questioned for our faith and beliefs. He enables us to witness. He reveals the things of God and Christ. He teaches us wisdom and understanding. He is directing us in the ways of godliness. He guides us into truth. He reveals the future. He enables the gifts of the Spirit. And he empowers with the fruit of the Spirit. He directs decisions of the church. And he teaches us the importance of fellowship. You know, this last point I just want to highlight as well. So we talked about the word and we talked about prayer and devotional time. And the other key that we must ensure we have as part of our faith is fellowship with other believers. Our verse from last year was Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So now I'm hoping there's some teachers who can attest to this. You know, how great is the feeling you get when you can take a look around your classroom at any point in a lesson and see your students engaging and interacting in the work together? Yeah, I can see some nods. I think that's probably the highlight of lessons, when you know that even if you haven't got through all that you thought you would, even if, you know, things aren't quite going to plan, when you can look around that room and see, wow, you know, these students, these young people, they're working together and they're learning together. I think that's what makes a great learning environment. So imagine that on a spiritual scale. How amazing it must be for the Holy Spirit when he sees us, God's people, the body of Christ, working together. When we meet together and have regular fellowship with one another, it certainly makes his job much easier. Because not only has he been speaking to each of us about whatever it is that we're going through, but when we meet together, we can testify to God's goodness by sharing it with one another. Not only that, but we can also, as it says in Hebrews, we can encourage one another. We can motivate one another to good works. We talk about it here. We talk about it here a lot, but it's truth. It's not just Sundays that we're called to be together. You know, there's a little bit of encouragement from conference that I wanted to bring to you this morning, specifically in the young adults gathering that Caleb and I attended. The main speaker for the young adults gathering had a session titled, Why I Think Many Christians Are Bored With Their Faith. And he talked about the pattern of a normal week and what that might have looked like for followers of Jesus when Jesus was walking the earth. You know, Jesus was radically different from other rabbis, so their week didn't look like what other people's weeks would. He mentioned four things that Jesus' weekly pattern included. Those four things were talking about and preaching the kingdom of God and its nearness, prayer for healing, casting out demons, serving the poor. You know, could you imagine how radical your week would be if you spent it doing those four things? Imagine what our Sundays would then look like. Man, we'd be so pumped to get to church on Sunday and share with each other, guess what God did this week? Guess who got healed? You know, you wouldn't believe it, but we cast out demons. And also, guess what we got to do? We got to go and serve people. We got to help, you know, maybe help someone move house, help work in the kitchen, the soup van at Vinny's, serving people, serving others. You know, we'd come along to Sunday and we'd share and we'd celebrate with each other all the exciting things that had taken place that week. Don't let church be the part of your week where those four things are most likely to happen. It's important, church, that we fill our week with so much preaching the kingdom, prayer for healing, casting out demons and serving the poor, that Sundays become the celebration where we're refueled and ready to go back into the next week and do it all again. So along with the challenge of adding just 5 minutes to your devotional or prayer time, just you and God, I want to add to that, how many days, or maybe it's hours, of fellowship do you have in your week? And how can you add to that? If you're not currently in a connect group or meeting with church family throughout the week, or if you are but you're hungry for more, we have lots of opportunities to connect with one another. It doesn't have to be in a pre-organized group setting. But there are opportunities to do that. So please come and chat to Kayla and myself today, or Paul and Cynthia as well. We can point you towards the different groups that exist. Or if you have contact details for Matt and Sharon, they'll be back this week, and I'm sure that they would love to get home to messages from their church family saying, hey, we want to be more involved. We want to connect. Able to understand the deep meanings within the Word of God. This will allow us to meet the problems of life. We don't read the Bible in order to be knowledgeable in the scriptures, but it is so that we are equipped for when we might meet the problems, the trials and the difficulties and the challenges of life. That's why we learn the scriptures. In learning and understanding the word, we see what the Holy Spirit is involved in. We see that he's involved in the writing of scriptures. He's involved in creation. He's involved in the work of redemption and specifically involved in our Lord's life. He is our teacher. We also need to position ourselves to encounter his presence by spending time in prayer, a deep devotional time with him. And lastly, fellowship. Let's not give up meeting together, family. Come and speak to members of the oversight team if you'd like more details for opportunities for fellowship during the week. Thank you, church. Have a blessed and exciting Spirit-filled week.